Welcome back to Between the Vines. This podcast is brought to you by Cornell University and Penn State University from the Lake Erie Regional Grape Program. Our program is made up of specialists from both land-grant universities, and we service the grape region of about 32,000 acres in western New York and northern Pennsylvania. But we are listened to all across our region as well, and we appreciate any comments or questions that you have. Please feel free to enter them into the comment section below on YouTube or reach out to any of us via our emails, which you can find on our website of lergp.com. So, Jennifer Phillips Russo, Viticulture Extension Specialist, it's been a while since we've been together. You know that over the last, I would say, 10 months, I have had a lot of guest co-hosts with me today, with me throughout the season, but that's because our team was in flux. We've had a lot of retirements and then people choosing to join the grower sector. So I would like to introduce you to our new team members. We are now almost up to full staff. I can tell you we are currently interviewing for our business management position, but we have our brand new team member, Dr. Armand Vargas, who is the New York State Grape Coordinator in Cornell University. And we have Megan Luke, who is our Penn State University Viticulture and Small Fruits Educator. And I'm going to give each of them a little bit of time to talk about themselves. Megan has been with us longest. She joined us back in March, and she was with us throughout the entire growing season and helped us tremendously throughout our programming. But she is officially official, I guess, now because you're on the podcast. So Megan, go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. So it's been a kind of a whirlwind of a first season. I'm actually from Chautauqua County, New York, originally. So I have some pretty deep roots, if you will, in the grape industry in this area. My family being viticulturists and winery owners in Erie County, Pennsylvania, from, you know, before I was born. So I was away for about 20 years in Colorado and Northern California, working in perennial agriculture in both tree fruit, viticulture, and nut production, which is where I did a lot of my research. And then I had moved home during the pandemic about 3 years ago. So I was very lucky to find this position when it opened up. It's been a great opportunity to reconnect with my community and be part of the industries that I feel deeply connected with. So the first year was kind of a whirlwind. I started in March. So, right as everyone was starting to gear up for the season, I was onboarded and just kind of had to stumble through this first year of coffee pot meetings and grower meetings and, you know, getting to know the advisory boards, the processors and everybody. It's been really fantastic. And I feel very welcomed and supported by both the LERGP team as well as the local community. Everyone's been just absolutely fantastic, and it's been a lot of fun. Beyond just my experience in perennial cropping systems, I also bring to the table a lot of experience in pesticide application, best practices, machine maintenance, and things like that, as well as some experience in precision ag and development of strategies for implementing that in an IPM, integrated pest management type situation. So I have some new programming coming down the pipeline that I'm excited to talk about a little bit later in the program. But for now, I'll hand it over to Herman and give him a chance to talk about what his hopes and dreams are for the for his position on the team.
And Herman, before you get going, I just want to say, Megan, you have been very welcomed by our community as well. I know you say you felt that, but also on my end, we're very proud and excited to have you here. So thank you for everything that you've done in that way, those regards as well.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer.
We don't want to shirk you. I should say this has been a long process, a long time coming, right, Armand? You were scheduled to begin on June 1st, and then a lot of things happened, but we are so thankful that you are here as October 1st, and you have hit the ground running. Do you want to talk a little bit about your past, and then we'll talk a little bit about the programming you're wanting to bring to us?
Perfect. Thank you very much, Jennifer, and thanks, Megan, also. Very glad to be part of the team. Now, talking about the coffee pots, my first memory is about my childhood in the middle of the coffee crops in Colombia, in the mountains of Colombia. My grandparents were coffee growers, so I got introduced to the idea of doing some major in agronomy from my family background. They were coffee growers. So I have a major in agronomy from the National University in Colombia, and then became interested in entomology. In this case, most associated with the normal complaints of my family growers, saying that they were spraying too many pesticides. So I thought, well, this is something that we need to take a look on. And so I became interested in the idea of having another alternatives of controlling those pests. I almost did my graduate school on Colombia, but then I decided to explore options. So I came here to Kansas State. I did my thesis on Aphidophagus lady beetles. So I was a ladybug guy working with the coccinuggets of the Great Plains and trying to understand basic reproductive biology. So I was not that focused on pest management, but understanding the insects. Then I gave back to Colombia, but in this case, not in coffee or something related, but mostly in sugar cane. So some of us like our coffee with sugar. Not all of us, but in my case, I do. So I was working with the sugar cane industry, in which we have a very like a long tradition of biological control. In this case, it's even sometimes difficult to promote something that are different than biological control, which is kind of weird, not normally the case. So I got the chance to explore there for some years. And then I was like expanding my idea of doing some biological control, but in this case, in the ornamental industry in Southern Florida. So I got there for a couple of years working with different alternatives of biological control, in this case of exotic pests, attacking the hibiscus industry, which is a very important one there. And after a very long process and some issues with immigration services, all due to COVID complications, you know, everything now is due to COVID. So I got finally here, hopefully trying to expand my idea of IPM in this position with Grace, very excited about implementing some projects on, of course, dealing with pests and diseases, very excited. So very, very, very happy to be here. Thanks, Jennifer.
We are really excited to have you, and you have hit the ground running with, he has heard from a bunch of growers during his seminar and grower meetings that spotted lanternfly is becoming an issue in New York State. So you have taken that sort of training by the horns and are trying to develop a, what do we do once it gets to New York State? Is that correct?
That is perfect. What we do, we want to do that. In a very pragmatic way, very practical. Okay, we got this. Okay, we know it's important to know more, but what will we do? What we can do about it? What is the recommendation? Very practical. And that is what we were talking about the other day, and about this idea with our New York growers. Okay, we have all this knowledge. We know that we still need to know more about the pest. It's an invasive one, so it's always giving us some more questions than answers, but still we have some ideas that we can say this is what we can do so far. We will get more knowledge in the future, that's the case, but what we can do now will be our main approach now for the pests.
Well, thank you for that work. We're really looking forward to what comes out of that. I should add that Megan has a really exciting program that she's developing as well that has been lacking in our industry for a few years, since before I have been here. And that is the work of Andrew Landers and working with sprayer calibration and the best nozzles, which is so incredibly needed. And you are becoming well-versed, and I'm super excited about what you have to bring to our area. So I would like you to talk a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, coming from California agriculture, which, I have to say for our folks in New York State, California is probably the only place in our country as regulated or more so than New York State when it comes to pesticide application practices, record keeping and things like that. So I have that advantage coming from the West Coast out here to have worked in an area that's very heavily regulated. So I had the opportunity to learn a lot of strategies, techniques and methodologies for improving spray coverage, as well as meeting the requirements of our local communities as well. As I've talked about it quite a bit over the year, Lynn Sosnowski, and I hope I said that correctly. I feel like I always get her name a little bit off. So our fantastic weed scientist over at Cornell, we've been talking a lot about these new EPA guidelines that are coming down the pipeline regarding herbicide applications, drift reduction. My colleagues at Penn State, Kane Hickey and Michaela Chetinari, have done a lot of work in the risks of drift, pesticide drift, and how it impacts grapes. So there's a lot of this work that's been going on. And so what I can bring to the table is an ability to expand an existing Penn State program, which provides skills and tools to calibrate your equipment effectively, to make sure that the pesticides are going where you want, when you want, and at the rate that you want. Essentially, I have a couple of sets of calibration equipment. This is large steel frames with graduated cylinders, not to get too scientific, but we attach the equipment to the nozzles on the spray equipment, and we release the pesticide, or the water in this case. Hopefully your equipment's clean when I come out there. And we measure it to see how much is coming out of each of those nozzles, and if there's any issues that you're having that we can troubleshoot on site to make sure that your pesticides are going where you want them to. Now this has two benefits. So the thing with pesticides is you really have this very small target area where you're going to be getting the most effective use of these chemistries. If you're under applying, you're running a higher risk of the pesticides not working, not doing their job, which means that you might have to apply more spray later on in order to combat the same problem. And of course, if you're overspraying, you're risking damage to your crop, you're risking damage to your finished product, as well as just wasting money. So we really want to get everyone into that small area, just for the sake of our growers' pocketbooks and for the sake of the local environment as well. The nice thing is because of the support of organizations like the Pennsylvania Department of Ag and the DEC, for now, we're able to offer this program free of cost to our local growers in both Pennsylvania and New York. So we hope that that will continue through community funding through some of these organizations. And as of right now, going into next year, that will be the case. Along with some of that work, currently, most of our guidelines are based on, well, if something goes wrong, then here's the strategies to fix it. And Andrew Landers, who was a Cornell researcher, he had done a lot of work on best practices for replacement times, for how frequently to calibrate your equipment, how to get best coverage with current formulations of pesticides. And so I'd like to continue some of that work and resume some of the demonstrations and presentations that he was able to do for growers, going back to some basics like pesticide tank mix jar tests, and methods of just evaluating how effective our sprays are and what we can do to improve them over time, again, to save money and to improve our practices and our management of some of these pests and pathogens that are getting so prevalent in our areas, and to, of course, mitigate the risk of resistance, which I know Brian Head, our pathologist, will have some updates at our upcoming spray meeting. So yeah. I'll hand it back to Jen if she wants to talk about that upcoming program.
That was a great segue. But before we gloss over everything that you just said, we are really excited about what the team has to offer. And that is such a good contribution that has been lacking for so long. So thank you for taking the reins on that and bringing it to our growers. We really appreciate that work. Yeah. So Megan mentioned we've done it for the last 3 years, I think, and it's called our pest management spray schedule. What's your plan? Originally, we were doing it in April, and then we moved it into February. We decided that December was really the time when you were making your decisions on what chemicals you were going to be buying for your spray program the following season. So we have that again. It's on December 5th, and it's happening Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. You do need to pre-register. We will have points associated with that because we are applying. It's a repeat program, so you don't have to apply as earlier as an advance. And I've already spoken with the DEC, and they're waiting for the application to come through today. So Megan is also applying for PDA credits. And because Megan is going to be discussing her calibration program. I'll actually read to you what is on our agenda. So topics that will be addressed include timing of spray applications at critical growth stages, pesticide options, efficacy and resistance management, along with sprayer calibration, and the EPA's Endangered Species Act updates, along with pesticide mitigation strategies and efforts. So it will have 2 hours of direct instruction and a half hour for questions and answers to what comes out of those presentations. Dr. Erman Vargas will also be there to have an introduction so that you can ask questions in person and possibly help him guide what work he wants, hearing from the growers themselves. Credits, help you figure out which pesticide you want and talk about this, the calibration and the importance of it and the program coming up so that you can sign up for that. That's all happening December 5th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. You need to pre-register, lergp.cce.cornell.edu. Again, that's lergp.cce.cornell.edu. I should tell you that Brian Head will be discussing examples for a Cadillac spray program and a good spray program. And he will also touch base on organic options. So this is not just us or them. Everybody can come and learn from this particular programming. And it's our hopes that all the growers will be able to make informed decisions based off of the research when purchasing next year's spray products. Megan will present on the EPA's ESA regulation changes with time for questions and discussion, and will present on her future sprayer calibration work and the importance of regular calibrations. All of that constitutes for core credits, and those are the elusive credits that everybody seems to be looking for. I will state it again, that is December 5th. December 5th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for that program. I know some of you are needing those core credits. I think it's before February, Megan. Do you know if that's the... Oh, it's different for everybody in PA. It depends on when you
got. It's March. It'll be March. So that's the, yeah, an opportunity if you're kind of trying to get down and under the wire.
Right.
This will be a good opportunity. And also with, I know Herman kind of mentioned it, but with the supply chain issues, this is a great chance to see what works and what doesn't, with plenty of time to get your orders in to your chemical supply preferred distributor, because I know in the last few years, folks have had some issues, especially if you want to use some of those newer formulations, the newer chemistries. I know there have been some limits to what's available locally. So this will be a great opportunity for folks to get those orders in before any shortages occur, or if anything is in short supply this coming season. You never know.
Thank you, Megan. Erman, is there anything that you would like to add before we sign off?
Well, just that it's been amazing to get to know at least preliminary the system here. I am very excited about the idea of the biopesticides being tested again in different diseases in grapes. Also, as I was even starting from my interview some months ago, the old challenges that we are facing with the grape Mary mold that's been here forever. It's been here even before us, but still giving us trouble. And the new challenges of the spotted artifact. So we have a lot of things to know about the spotted artifact, and a lot of things that we already know, but still are not working for the grape Mary mold. So it's a lot of challenges in front of us. And of course, we have been talking with Megan about how important it is to do the scoutings and also to calibrate the sprayers. To have that well-tuned will be give us chances to be more efficacious. So I guess that we got to integrate all of that. And of course, new ideas and new developments in technology that we all know are happening. I mean, people are spraying with different technology now, and we got to explore those options too. So I guess that is a lot of things in front of us.
Well, thank you for adding that. And I would also like to say we are now, thank you for joining the team, Erman. Hopefully in the future, we'll be able to provide some of these programs in Spanish as well. Do you agree?
Yeah, it would be great. Turn to me.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks so much. If you have any questions that you would like us to answer, please leave your comments below or reach out to us via our email addresses. You can find all of us online at lergp.com. We look forward to seeing you on December 5th at our spray program. And everybody have a great week. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.